The Lord be with you. It's Michael Solomink of Lutherans for Life with the Life-Minded Podcast, equipping gospel-motivated voices for life. Life expectancy in the United States is declining. The average length of life among the American population went down for the third straight year in 2019. Sociologists believe that what experts call deaths of despair lie behind this concerning development. Deaths of despair include those from suicide and substance abuse or overdose. Why is suicide such a concern right now? 1.3 million adults attempted suicide in 2017, which is the most recent year for which we have data. Now, this doesn't account for suicide attempts among homeless persons, individuals living in residential care facilities, or active military. But some 48,000 souls ended their own lives, and officials suspect that suicide actually goes underreported. The suicide rate in our nation has risen by 30 to 50% over the last 20 years. And in 2017, twice as many died by suicide as by homicide across the country. Suicide has become the second leading cause of death for adolescents and 20-somethings. Only accidents kill more teenagers and young adults. Americans take their lives more frequently than the residents of Haiti, Ethiopia, North Korea, China, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Vietnam, Israel, Iran, Greece, Guatemala, and over 170 other countries. Current social distancing measures, responding to the coronavirus pandemic, have the potential to make the crisis worse. 85% of Americans surveyed spend 20 to 24 hours a day at home because of the lockdown. More than half are reporting psychological effects of the outbreak, including depressive symptoms, anxieties, and stress that they consider to be moderate or severe. A significant history of studies have established the substantial connection between unemployment and suicide. And the shelter-in-place regulations can also amplify relational conflict and abuse. So who's in danger? We do know that women, teens, and young adults experience symptoms of suicide at greater rates than others. We also know that suicide claims more adolescent lives than anything except accidents. Females attempt suicide more often, but males complete suicide more often. It also happens almost twice as much among Native Americans and Caucasians than other ethnicities. And military veterans do have double the suicide rate of non-veterans. In fact, more active duty soldiers have died by suicide than during combat campaigns in either Iraq or Afghanistan. But a 2008 study observed a particular increase in suicide among middle-aged white women. We know as well that those who have undergone abortion experience depression and suicide much more often than the general population, along with a host of other negative psychological effects. The same holds true for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction, greater rates of depression and suicide, and folks who face gender dysphoria actually have the highest suicide rate of all, even after taking transition hormones and having reassignment surgeries. But it is elderly persons over the age of 65 who suffer the greater risk of suicide than any other age demographic. Now, of course, advocates for physician-assisted suicide have been featuring prominently in media and culture and legislation for the last 5 years. And the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., and Maine have recently joined Oregon, Washington, and Vermont in decriminalizing physician-assisted suicide. So it's a little more than curious that research in Oregon found the non-assisted suicide rate went up faster there than the national average in the 15 years after physician-assisted suicide was legalized in the mid-1990s. In a moment, we're going to learn what signs of suicidal ideation to watch for and what we can do to support someone through them and prevent suicide. You're listening to Life-Minded from Lutherans for Life. Do you believe we can do better than abortion, but you're tired of political controversy? Have you thought we don't need physician-assisted suicide, but you're fed up with offensive rhetoric? Lutherans for Life is your community. Life issues like surprise pregnancy and terminal diagnosis aren't about politics, public opinion, or personal choices. Life issues are people, people whom we know and love. Lutherans for Life doesn't campaign or lobby. We aim higher than just ending abortion or outlawing euthanasia. Lutherans for Life is gospel-motivated with a joyful word
words of God and the message of hope in Christ Jesus. Speak truth and show love with us. Share life courageously and compassionately with Lutherans for Life. Visit LutheransForLife.org.
Do you want to celebrate the sanctity of human life without the anger and the fear? You need help speaking about life issues with courage and compassion? Life Date is for you. Lutherans for Life's quarterly journal, Life Date, gives you 32 pages of gospel motivation, articles by experts, and information on life issues and events from the Lutheran perspective. Digital and physical subscriptions are completely free. Get your Life Date today at LutheransForLife.org.
Welcome back to Life Minded, the podcast of Lutherans for Life, equipping gospel-motivated voices for life. I'm Michael Solomink. Today, we're examining suicide. We've explored what makes it such a concern right now and who's most in danger. Now we're turning our attention to the signs of suicidal ideation. Are there common indicators of someone considering suicide that we can be aware of? Certain factors do appear to associate with a heightened risk of suicidal ideations. Somebody with a history of depression or mental illness or a sense of hopelessness may be in need of our attention. Chronic pain or substance abuse, as well as any previous suicide attempts, ought to keep us watchful. Living through a loved one's suicide or suffering a violent or high-conflict relationship can lead a person to feel suicidal. And financial problems and work stress also often influence suicidal tendencies. We want to remain mindful, too, of anyone's lack of social supports or sense of isolation, as these contribute to suicide. Especially, we'll look for significant changes in mood or interactions or behavior, insisting that I can handle it on my own, or burying struggles with stress and depression provide us with important warning signs. Sleeping a lot more, sleeping a lot less, insomnia, eating a lot more or eating a lot less, significant weight gain or weight loss, lack of energy or activity, and general sadness and apathy also raise flags for us. When we hear someone say, "I wish I hadn't been born," or "I'd be better off dead," we need to get involved if we haven't already. Is this someone you know seeking lethal means, like guns or knives or pills? Is there talk of a particular plan or method for how they would carry out suicide? Are they becoming preoccupied with dying in violence, reading about it, writing about it? Have they expressed feeling worthless or really burdened? Is this somebody withdrawing from others, wanting you to leave them alone, saying ominous goodbyes or making arrangements for family members and giving away possessions? Do you see increase in alcohol or drug use? Risky behavior like driving recklessly or without a seatbelt? Even a sudden calm after an extended depression could tell us that someone we know and love may have decided to commit suicide. So then, what do we do to intervene and prevent suicide? Our strategy at Lutherans for Life is HOPE. H-O-P-E. The H stands for having awareness. We're already putting that into practice by identifying and inventorying the warning signs that someone near us is considering suicide. O in HOPE stands for open to asking. We embrace this person in a relationship of rapport and trust. Now, just because they know us doesn't mean they feel safe talking. So we inquire gently and patiently about their well-being, even asking directly whether they're thinking of taking their life. Then we listen actively. We invite them to share thoughts and feelings without us offering opinions or suggesting solutions. Open-ended questions, ones that encourage more than a yes or a no for an answer, work especially well. We express our care and empathy, validate their emotions as real and justified, and we inform them that because we care about them, when we feel that they may be endangering themselves, we won't keep it secret. We will seek to save them. If H means having awareness and O means open to asking, then the P of HOPE stands for present without judgment. We cease all competing activities to listen and attend to that person's feelings and needs. We reschedule other tasks and remove immediate objects that could prove harmful. We interpret their facial expressions and their postures and gestures, as well as their verbal communication. We can pray with them or pray for them. We always avoid surprise, disgust, or arguing. We are sure to offer forgiveness Wherever the person acknowledges sinfulness and repentance, even if they don't explicitly ask, we can share the comfort and encouragement of our own faith, including uplifting passages of Scripture. We speak of the hope that Jesus Christ has provided for us when we have endured our own tribulations, and we assure them that they aren't alone, that they're not under God's anger, and they're not outside of His mercy and His compassion and His care. H, having awareness. O, open to asking. P, present without judgment. The E of hope stands for engage professionals. We don't try to serve as anyone's savior. We contact first responders if we believe suicide may occur soon. We connect the person to a pastor or deaconess to apply the medicine of preaching and absolution in the sacraments. We help them consult with a counselor, a social worker, or a doctor for talk therapy or antidepressant prescriptions. And we escort them and accompany that person to as many such appointments as they'll let us. We don't bear their burdens by ourselves, but we don't leave them alone either. Start with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or Lutherans for Life's own Word of Hope Crisis Care Line, 1-888-21-STORY. Again, 1-888-21-STORY. We always make sure to follow up with the person, giving them our contact information, scheduling a time even to reconnect. Having awareness, open to asking, present without judgment, and engage professionals, H-O-P-E. That's gospel-motivated hope that we can share with someone considering suicide. In a moment, we'll explore the Scripture's perspective on suicide and whether it amounts to an unforgivable sin. You're listening to Life-Minded from Lutherans for Life.
Sanctity of human life is about more than abortion. The grace of God in the gospel of Jesus treasures humankind from fertilization to forever. And Lutherans for Life celebrates everyone. Our library of resources can help you think courageously and speak compassionately about issues like living with disability, biotechnology, modesty and chastity, marriage and parenting, infertility and contraception, adoption, and so much more. Visit lutheransforlife.org and let's learn how to be pro-life for the whole life. We are the pro-life generation. That's what today's high school and university students are calling themselves. Why are youth for life? Lutherans for Life's Why for Life community helps answer the question. Why for Life engages and equips today's learners to be tomorrow's leaders through education, networking, and service. Learn more about bringing Why for Life to your church and school at whyforlife.org. That's the letter Y, the number 4, L-I-F-E.org.
Welcome back to Life Minded, the podcast of Lutherans for Life, equipping gospel-motivated voices for life. I'm Michael Solomink. Today, we're exploring suicide. We've investigated what makes it a concern right now and who's most in danger. And we've looked into signs for our awareness of someone at risk, as well as strategies for intervention and prevention. Now we're asking whether suicide's an unforgivable sin. What does the Bible say about suicide and everlasting salvation? Scripture condemns murder, including suicide, which the Word of God always portrays as negative and regrettable. Suicide approaches treacherously close to unbelief and idolatry, rejecting God's assurances and resorting instead to my own abilities to save me from suffering. And suicide does differ from some other sins in its finality. That is, that as far as we know, it appears one can't repent of it after the fact. However, several other sins also have this quality, such as losing one's life while drunk and driving, or overdosing on illegal drugs, or dying in the course of committing a crime like bank robbery or home invasion. But the Bible describes only one unforgivable sin. Our Lord Jesus states in the Gospel of Matthew, "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." So he identifies this unforgivable sin as one of words and not thoughts only. And he applies it directly to the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, of course, is to cause repentance and faith in the hearts of sinful people. The Epistle to the Hebrews adds that the sin's character as unforgivable comes from the impossibility of repentance. Hebrews chapter 6, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to restore them again to repentance. So we must conclude that only persisting in denial and slander of God's grace amounts to the unforgivable sin, and this not because of its magnitude, but because of its nature. Refusing the free and full forgiveness of every sin and every sinner through the love of God in Christ Jesus. No sin goes unforgiven, and only opposing forgiveness and repentance and faith altogether is unforgivable. Now, most suicidal souls act out of despair and not out of defiance or delight. While taking one's own life does give evidence of selfishness, it does so in sorrow and not in celebration. The devil has shown himself able and eager to afflict not only the human body, but also the human mind and will to overcome a person with sin and death. We understand depression in many cases is a cancer of the mind or a disease of the emotions. And while somebody with an infection or a sickness may also despise and ridicule the grace of God, beloved, believing, forgiven Christians also endure bodily ailments without surrendering their salvation. Repentance does not consist in the enumeration of every single sin one has ever engaged in. Rather, repenting and believing are states of being. I regret my sins. I despise not only my sins, but also my sinfulness, which I believe has contaminated my entire being. And in the same way, I trust that Jesus saves me not just moment by moment, he also saves my whole past from the moment of fertilization when my life began. And he saves my whole future, even unto forevermore. Every Christian deals with instances of despair. Even Jesus himself cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But this doesn't necessarily invalidate faith. Recall a certain father in Mark's gospel pleaded with Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." May God grant this prayer to rest on the lips and in the heart of everyone considering suicide. And may the Lord grant us to serve at least in part as answers to it. For Lutherans for Life, I'm Michael Solomink. For more information about the joy of the gospel and the sanctity of life, visit www.lutheransforlife.org. Until next time, thank you for listening to Life Minded, and remember that great minds think of life.